Time being 7:03, I call to order the Franklin School Committee. Meetings are recorded by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29, as well as recorded by Franklin Matters. So we'll start today with the Pledge of Allegiance. So we do have a pledge student today here from Washington K-2. Want to go ahead and stand up, buddy? It's our pleasure to introduce Connor Storelli, a second grade student in Ms. Mark's class at Washington K-2. Connor was nominated by his teacher for being responsible, outgoing, and patriotic. Connor loves writing, reading, and drawing, and he has a special passion for history, which he considers to be one of the strongest subjects. He especially enjoys learning about what happened long ago in our country and around the world. During a recent state report, Connor chose to research Rhode Island and was excited to share his visit to Fort Adams, where he explored the courtyard and even saw a torpedo and a cannon. When he grows up, Connor hopes to become either a photographer or a marine archaeologist who studies shipwrecks, both careers that reflect his curiosity and love of discovery. Outside of school, Connor enjoys riding his bike and visiting trampoline parks. We're very proud to have Connor representing Washington Elementary and leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And then we'll hold a moment of silence as is customary. Routine business. A review of agenda. Does the agenda look good to everyone?
I could actually make a motion. We could move discussion action item A, the Galapagos Island trip vote, to immediately follow guest presentation A, the presentation on the Galapagos Islands.
Do I have a second?
A second.
All right, discussion, any questions? Okay. Vote will come to motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. And then payment of bills. Everything looks good in order. Looks in order there. Payroll.
And bills looking good. Payroll.
Payroll's all set. FHS student reps report.
Hi, my name is Callie Joyce, and I'm the president of the class of 2027. And I'm here with Siobhan.
Thank you. My name is Siobhan Depp.
So first, if you're looking to take the SATs, dates that are offered are March 14th, May 2nd, and June 6th. Quarter two ends January 27th. Recently, DECA regionals happened, and there are 54 people moving on to states. Panther Pride Night is January 29th, and this is a great opportunity for freshmen to explore like the clubs and sports that Franklin High School has to offer. Senior banquet is April 10th, junior prom is May 1st, sophomore banquet is March 13th, and freshman banquet is March 27th.
There's no school this upcoming Monday, the 19th, because of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. There's a half day tomorrow where students are getting out at 11:20 to accommodate for traffic. Students at Franklin High School are being called down to the office to undergo their annual mental health and wellness screenings. There are a couple concerts taking place at the high school. There's the jazz concert on the 27th of January at 7 p.m. There's concert hours taking place on the 24th and 25th. And there's the jazz cafe taking place on that same day at 6 p.m. The class of 2027 is running a calendar fundraiser throughout the month of March, where they will be selling calendars to help fundraise for their prom at Gillette Stadium on May 1st. In terms of sports, student athletes should remember to pay their athletic fees.
Any questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
By the way, Connor, do you want to?
Sure. Does Connor have permission to head home?
Yes, please. Thank you so much. Superintendent's report.
All right. Could someone turn the lights on? I'm getting to a point where I can't see as well. I was going to try. Thanks, Steve. That's so much better. Thank you so much. As we begin the new calendar year, I just wanted to take a moment to wish our students, our staff, our families, and our community a very happy and healthy new year. I hope that the winter break offered time to rest and reconnect and recharge with those important to you. And we're grateful for the partnership that we have with Franklin Public Schools, with our community, and our students, and our staff, and our families. And we are wishing everyone health, good health as we kick into the 2026 year. So starting off with my announcements, I'll start with the FHS cheer team, our state champions who are here tonight. We are fortunate to recognize the Franklin High School cheer team for another extraordinary season. This certainly is not their first recognition or their first visit to school committee, but this fall, 11 student athletes competed in the MSAA large co-ed division and delivered an exceptional performance throughout the season. The team captured the Hockomock League Championship, the South Regionals Championship, and went on to win the MSAA Large Co-Ed State Championship held at Worcester State University, and their 17th state championship overall, a truly historic accomplishment. And congratulations to our student athletes, Coach Donnie Gill, and our entire coaching staff, and the families who support our young student athletes for sustaining such a high level of excellence year after year. We're very proud of you. Thank you for all the work that you put in. Congratulations. If we could, it's customary to recognize not only our state champions, but take a photo that we can put on the website to just acknowledge their accomplishments. So at this time, if our cheer team could please come up to the rostrum right where the TV is, next to Chair Griffith, and if the school committee could come around and take a photo, that would be great.
be right on your shoulder.
Is there a way we should do this? You would know better than me.
They're pretty good at this.
All right, we'll go down the line.
Can you come just a little bit, and then more school committee members can go in time?
If I kneel like that, I need a few minutes.
Just come forward a little bit. Yeah, that's good. And then just fill in. And if you're behind somebody, just make sure you can see between the gaps.
All right, I'm going.
Go ahead, go ahead.
All right.
Good smiles, great stuff. Good, good. Excellent, thanks.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just to make a quick note, there is a vote later, it's hours from now, for the state, for the team to compete and go out of state for their competition that will take place. So we did not take that out of order, but there is, it's a recurring trip for a state championship team that wins this often to go to Orlando. So that is in the consent agenda later down. We can leave it there and I can let folks know, or if you want to take a vote.
I was going to say, can we make a motion to move that vote up to right now so you guys can see the results? Does anyone need a second?
Second. Okay. Any questions, discussion? All right. Vote will come to motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries.
That was just to move it. So now, that's good. You know what? They voted to take a vote. So this is good. This is bureaucracy at its finest. All right, next. So I recommend approval of the request of Kara Ellis to take the FHS cheerleaders to Orlando, Florida from March 12th to the 16th, 2026, as detailed.
Second. All right. Motion and second. Any questions, comments? Seeing none.
Just want to say congratulations. It's been number of years since Al and I have been on the committee, and every single year I feel like this has kind of come up. It's the very first one that we had. We kind of had to pause our meeting for a little bit because when everybody was down in the parking lot, we heard them, you guys all cheer so loudly going down to Florida. But it's amazing, and it's such a testament to the entire organization that this is where it kind of fell on the agenda, just more bureaucracy, I guess, but it's called a consent agenda. It's like the buried stuff that we naturally know is always going to come up and is going to get voted upon. And I mean, it's a lot of small little stuff, including the minutes and accepting this or that. The fact that the cheer team going to nationals down in Florida has become such commonplace for the Franklin School Committee is wild, but it's well deserved. Best of luck, congratulations what you've done so far, and I'm going to vote on this next year as well. No doubt.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, the vote will come to motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So, if you'd like, you can go or you can sit. We're going to be here until about 11.
Thank you. Make us proud. You will.
Okay, I'd like to continue with my update, and I'd like to also recognize students who recently participated in the Poetry Out Loud competition. This is a wonderful example of student voice confidence and authentic learning in action. So congratulations to Marina Zaki, a freshman, and this year's school winner, and Penny Keenan, a junior, first runner-up. Penny will represent Franklin at the regional competition at the Huntington Theater during the weekend of February 7th and 8th, and should Marina not be able to attend. Thank you again to the school committee members and the staff who took time to judge. We truly appreciate your support and student learning that goes on in and beyond the classroom. For DECA, as you heard already from our student reps, 166 FHS students competed in the regional DECA competition against more than 1,000 students from across the region. Students competed in one of 50 business-related categories, including role-play scenarios, written business plans, and those placing in the top five in their category qualified for the state level. And I'm proud to share that 54 students, FHS students, will advance to compete at the upcoming state competition in Boston. And there will be a full press release on this subject. And I just want to personally thank Emily Rossborough and Brian Keeley, who are our advisors, for their leadership and support of an outstanding DECA program. Franklin High is also recognizing its AP Scholar Honor Roll by the College Board, and this recognition honors the schools that expand access to advanced placement coursework while supporting student success. And this reflects a true school-wide effort from teachers, counselors, administrators, to students and families, and it affirms our commitment to both opportunity and achievement. These accomplishments speak to the depth of learning, the leadership, and the preparation happening every day at Franklin High, and we're very proud of our students and our staff. The Office of Teaching and Learning will finalize and share the selected 2026 MCAS dates. The English / Language Arts MCAS will begin in March, and math and STEM will follow in April and May. It's important for students to be in school, but especially on these days, so that they can maximize their performance and have an ideal testing environment. A Title I update, Washington K-2 and Washington 3-5 schools have qualified for Title I services through the federal government. Literacy specialists have worked to identify eligible students to participate in after-school programs 2 days per week and an in-school program during the day. The after-school program began last week, and we have 21 staff members, teachers, and ESPs, and over 65 students participating in these programs. This week, in-school program began with five staff members working to identify students to participate in the intervention. This is the last announcement I have, and it has to do with the email and a very long voicemail you probably received from me inadvertently, that it basically read the entire email. But we are going to be having an early dismissal or adjusted dismissal tomorrow, Wednesday, January 14th, due to the funeral services for a fallen Uxbridge police officer, Stephen LaPorter, which is being held at St. Mary's Church. So in coordination with the Franklin Police Department, we anticipate planned road closures, traffic congestion beginning at 11 and around the Town Common and surrounding neighborhoods. And to prioritize student safety and transportation reliability, we've implemented adjusted dismissal times. I've provided this in email, it's on the website, so I won't read every single piece. I just would make a note about those dismissal times so that there is clarity. And I actually cut it out because it was too long. But the times have been communicated, they're online. I know that the middle school's at 10:45, the high school's at 11:20, the elementary is at 1:45, those are the dates. Solutions will start right at 1:45 to receive students, and Pond Street and ECDC at Oak and Pond will be a 12:15 dismissal, which is an adjustment. This is all online, and we know that we appreciate everyone's flexibility as we look to try to navigate the situation tomorrow. In our heart, I mean, our condolences go out to the LaPorter family for their loss. That completes my report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
I have one. Will buses be taking an alternative route, or will they be allowed through the closures?
The bus dismissals that happened before 11 will be able to take a similar route to get out, but there is an alternative route to get out of the middle school complex and the high school complex out of Panther Way, and then drive over to their rooted areas. So there are some road closures which we've identified. The people who are impacted directly, Colin has been reaching out to make contact, and then our schools have sent out, per the request of our school committee, was to send out school-specific emails that people read. Sometimes the district ones aren't as read as readily, but anyway, that did go out, so it's been clearly communicated to folks impacted.
First of all, thank you so much, Lucas, for looking into this, because yesterday He texted us multiple times on different note plans that we had, and thanks for accommodating the individual school level text or emails. That's definitely going to help the parents to follow that closely. And just I want to congratulate the cheerleading team, DECA team. My son is also part of DECA, so he was there last week. DECA team for their effort and time given on these activities. Congratulations, team, and hoping we'll see more advancements to the states. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. I just wanted to make sure that for the dismissal tomorrow, I know a lot of parents here early dismissal may assume that we're kind of going into the normal pattern. These are different times than normal. These are not, it's not a standard half day. So definitely make sure you check those emails, please, and review as much as possible. We don't want people to show up 2 hours early expecting, a regular half day dismissal, or, have the kids home for an hour without people expecting it. So please do make sure that you review that. It is a different time compared to normal dismissal or early dismissal. I don't have any other comments. So, are we through? So moving on, we now have guest presentations. A good number of them tonight. Appreciate all the time spent getting this together. Lucas, do you want to go ahead and introduce?
Sure. So we have four presentations tonight. Every presenter has done a really great job of preparing resources and materials. They're also prepared to present in a fashion that allows us to hit on the key points, keep the meeting moving. However, I want to give them the respect that they deserve for the work that they put into preparing each of these presentations. So, just put that out there. Mr. Chetland, come on in. We're joined by Jason Chetland, who is a math teacher at Franklin High School. He's presenting an EF Taurus trip. This is his first trip, and he's going to be presenting on Galapagos. And you should see that, and I'll let you take it away, Jay. Thank you for being here.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you all for your attention tonight. Mr. Jagir just said, I want to propose a trip to a 9-day tour of Quito, Ecuador, and the Galapagos Islands, scheduled for February of 2027. This would be my third tour with EF. I'm going to Japan next month with the group as a fellow teacher there. I'm an experienced traveler, excursion leader, and I'm very much looking forward to the opportunity to take students to the Galapagos Islands and tour around. The days that I'm proposing are from the first Saturday of the February vacation to the closing Sunday. So there's going to be no school that's missed. We aren't just visiting, we're entering what Darwin called a living laboratory. So amongst other experiences, students will be studying species at the Charles Darwin Research Station. They're going to be looking at tortoises, penguins, iguanas, land iguanas, marine iguanas, and other various, all the life, the flora and fauna that is just abundant in the Galapagos. This will certainly be the highlight of the trip. I believe it's 4 days that we'll be spending on the islands as a whole. And it certainly would be an experience that they would not soon forget. Additionally, we're going to be snorkeling with sea turtles, hiking lava islets. They're going to be immersing themselves in the culture at the local craft markets there, bridging science with social studies, and really giving them a full experience of what it means to be in Ecuador. And while these activities are more academic, standing on the equatorial line offers them a more experiential engagement, really gives them the where and making the geography of South America really unforgettable. And what I would like to do at this point here, it looks like you folks might be in for a little longer night, so I'm going to kind of go through the rest of this a little quicker. I know you've seen the materials here, but I do just want to point out that all the things that we've come to know about the EF tours are really, they're still holding true there. Like the airfare is covered, we have a full-time tour director that's with us all the time. We have local guides that take us to all the different places. All the emergency assistance, the travel support team, all those things are still in place. There are EF offers a free Tilt debit card, so it makes it easy to pay for things such as the few lunches that we have to pay for. Not all lunches are covered in this tour. Those when we're on the islands are covered, But when we're in the city and at the markets, they have an opportunity to buy their own lunches, their own snacks, and other things like baggage fees at the airport, gratuities, things like that aren't covered in the door. And let's see, what else here? You have safety standards. Again, this is all the boilerplate stuff, the global travel protection. Families have the opportunity to purchase additional travel protection if they so choose. So that if they need to pull out a trip as early as, I believe it's within 24 hours, they can pay for that additional thing and get that additional insurance for themselves. Excuse me. This trip is open to all current freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. Seniors, sorry, you're graduating, moving on. Connor, a little too young. Maybe we'll go back there in the future. This is probably one of the more important slides for me. I just want to make it really clear that this is, we want to make this accessible to all people. So if they have physical needs, we can do modified hikes. We have life jackets for snorkeling. There's even discounted rates for travel aids for students with physical impairments. This was actually news to me. I just found this out last month. So this was kind of a nice little gem in there that's not really, hard to find in all their things, but it's really a nice thing for them. Translators, interpreters, it's there for them. Additionally, EF offers a $1,000 scholarship for students in need. Again, boilerplate stuff, this is stuff they offer for all the trips, but trying to make this equitable for all students and accessible for all students is certainly a high priority. And to put this investment in perspective, the cost of $5,229 is consistent with the majority of EF trips we've taken at FHS. And again, we want this experience to be accessible, so note that they can pay either biweekly or monthly if that's easier for families to afford. And at this point, I'm going to open the floor open to you folks if you have any questions or concerns about any aspects of the trip.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any questions?
I'm just curious about the application process. How do you sign up to go?
In a couple weeks, we'll have a meeting with all interested parties, parents and students, and to start to explain more about the trip and the details. We'll have a sign up right there with a barcode and a form for them to fill out. And that starts the process and starts the communication. And then we'll have two more meetings shortly thereafter in the coming weeks after that.
Is there a deadline already set or?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's probably more for Superintendent Jagir or Dr. Weber. So sorry for putting you on the spot. I know you're just an audience member. I know in the past that we talked about having like a EF like travel program. Do we have any updates on where that is?
Do you want to share an update, Dr. Weber?
Sure. It's in the works. It's one of our priorities among many. So we are doing our best. It's little by little. It's a slower process. Yes, so it's a little bit of a slower process, but we have worked really hard to be selective about the tours that we're offering students. I really like how Jay highlighted the accessibility piece. I think that was important to us. And if you noticed from some of our previous trips, they're really like a cross-section of experiences. So this one is that more nature, science-based one. And we have Japan, which is more of a cultural trip. We have Hawaii, which is a domestic option for some students that don't have passports. So we're really trying to offer a range of experiences. So it's coming together in terms of we're working on it slowly, for sure. And then the other piece that's really important, and I know that I've mentioned before, and I know it's important to everybody in this room and everybody watching probably, is working with EF Tours to transfer some of the points that our chaperones have accumulated and turn that into actual dollars that's going to go directly back to students. So Jay was able to get, do you remember off the top of your head what that amount was?
Yes, it's $14,400.
So we now have $14,400 that will be transferable and accessible for students. So our next step in this process is to develop some sort of application process for like a scholarship opportunity that we will offer to students. With this trip, fortunately, we have some time. The trips that are already in place, those, as you know, we try to plan these well over a year. This one is for February of 2027.
So 13 months from now.
Yeah, so 13 months from now. So we'll be able to put something together. The plan is for this trip. But fortunately, the ones that are already in the works, that opportunity is not there. But, you know, we're making progress, and I'm really excited to see, you know, all the trips and the experiences. It's so great to hear what the students learn and what they experience on these trips. So we're happy that we have staff and teachers who are interested in hosting. It's a huge responsibility. I've been on a trip as a chaperone. It's not a vacation. It is hard work. So we appreciate the people who are willing to take students on these trips.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, sure. It's amazing to see how this has evolved from like our very first ones that had come from, you know, with us to like where it's now and where it's going to come. So I love the whole opportunity to get something from the students, and that's awesome. So, thank you.
I'll just quickly mention, I happen to have a friend in Franklin whose son graduated last year, who went on the Costa Rica trip, which was kind of science-based, like it felt more nature. And now I believe is majoring, got a pretty decent scholarship, and is majoring in like environmental science, and it changed the whole sort of trajectory and track of what he was thinking of doing. So it's a lot of value. So
that's wonderful. Thanks. That's excellent. Yeah.
Just one question on the safety and support. The 24-person safety and incident response team, is that offered by EF, or is it something that we own?
That's through EF, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And I just want to piggyback on what my colleague Al was talking about too. I love like the cross section. So for like the parents that are kind of like looking at this one, there are just so many amazing opportunities, and it's just becoming like a almost like clockwork, all the different ones that keep coming up. And I saw on the agenda item, the clockwork list, I was blown away. I can't believe that's a place that you'd be willing to take kids to. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. And
it's hard work. Yeah. It's hard work, yes.
I just love this entire program, and I'm so glad that we're finding so much success with EF. So thank you very much.
Thank you all for your time. I appreciate it.
Sorry. No worries. So just, I actually have only one concern. Is kind of, what's our backup plan for that return on February 21st? Because those students are most likely going to be a little exhausted, a little jet lag, and haven't taken a few flights recently. They don't always land quite as, you know, quite on time. So do we have anything kind of in place with Dr. Weber potentially, if things do get delayed, just having some plans ahead of time?
Well,
we don't have the ability to charter flights.
Right. I can speak to the timing of it. We do, for this trip, we fly out on Saturday evening, and we turn here on Sunday morning.
Right. Okay.
Which is better than most that I've seen or heard of. Yes.
Absolutely.
If you don't mind, I'll just add that was one of the like sort of stipulations that we, in partnering with EF Tours and taking so many, one of our, that was important feedback that we heard here, actually. So they have an agreement with us, I'll say, we're mutually working with each other so that the trips can, so students don't miss any school, because in the past there were a few trips where that had to happen. So they are modifying their schedules to accommodate us to make sure that our kids will be here like through that Friday afternoon and back before Monday morning, with, you know, as best as possible, whatever's in our control for travel purposes.
I appreciate that. Yeah, the word is definitely a good approach. As a geneticist, this kind of trip is really fantastic to hear about. Interested to see, you know, if the students get an opportunity to see the finches while they're down there, kind of getting the backstory and the understanding of just how diverse those birds are without actually being that far apart from each other genetically. So,
just amazing, jaw dropping, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time. Thanks.
All right. So we can note something out of order here.
Yes, we took it out of order. So I recommend approval of the request of Jason Chetland to take the FHS students to the Galapagos Islands from February 13th through February 21st, 2027, as discussed.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
A second? All right, motion and a second by Stephen. Discussion? Questions? All right. Roll to come the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Have fun.
Okay. I took that as a stretch break. I could have sat right on it. Yes, I don't blame you. Okay. So here we go. So we are presenting the last presentation of the evening. I want to first just thank you, Daddy, for hanging in there and listening to all the things going on in Franklin Public Schools. So I'm excited to just provide an update on the Franklin Public Schools Child Care Initiative. This is an exciting, it's meant to be an update, not just because of the time of night, but because it's appropriate now to kind of, this is our first time talking publicly about it. We have a lot of details behind the scenes, but it's meant to be digestible to you as a school committee and the community. So I will kick it over to Patty, who will co-present, but has been just tremendous in getting this initiative off the ground behind the scenes, in addition to all the other programs that she's had to manage through reorganization. And she's the director of our Lifelong Learning Program, our Solutions Program. I'll kick it over to you, Patty.
Yeah, thank you for having us here tonight. Appreciate it. My name is Patty Gay. I'm the director of Lifelong Learning. And very happy to be here tonight. And very excited about this new initiative, which is the Little Solutions Toddler Child Care, with a focus on providing child care for staff. So.
It's 10 slides. Okay, so tonight, just on the screen, you can see the areas which we'll cover. We'll provide some time at the end to explain some next steps and answer any questions that you have. But we've broken it down into some key areas that you would think about for any type of startup that we want to cover. So without further ado.
So just as an introduction, the district is developing an on-site child care for next school year. It supports the district, will help in supporting the district recruitment, retention, as well as overall work-life balance. Our goal is to provide high-quality child care, and it aligns with the district's goals of supporting its workforce, and also just strengthens the school community.
So how did we get here? So if you were in the school committee seats, or you were a parent, or anyone watching online, you may recall back in 2024, we made a decision to do complete reorganization. We're in the year now where we're living the changes that took place. In addition to that, you'll see here, I just put a picture up just to remind people of, we did a master plan that had many recommendations in it. We have been working hard to implement the recommendations for current students we have in current programs to make sure that we could land the plane and allow us to be able to move forward as a district. In addition to that, there were some long-term, short, mid, and long-term plans on how we could continue to improve our district in a variety of ways. So one of the recommendations was around supporting children and providing a child care model for our staff to help us with our recruitment, our retention, and try to improve overall life balance and providing this opportunity for staff. So in that recommendation, it was about making strategic use of our Pond Street location, which is currently where our pre-K is, ECDC at Pond, as you're well aware, and in addition, utilizing some of the space to provide the child care option. So this not only provides an opportunity for staff, but it also strengthens our community and is a potential revenue generator for us as we continue to try to build out this model. So just, we hit on this already a little bit, but basically you can see here some of the benefits and the rationale and the impetus for this work was really to try to get this off the ground for to begin the school year, next school year, so 2027, August of 2027.
Just to highlight some of the program concepts, our goal is to offer high quality toddler program that aligns with the Massachusetts Early Education and Care guidelines and my voice is like, I haven't talked in 2 hours.
Okay.
But just to use best practices and try to present a quality program that everyone will be happy with, and including the people that work there and the staff, and just trying to provide a quality program. So we are looking at, we're going to start with the toddler age, and that is age 15 to 33 months. As Lucas said, our location is at the Palm Street location. The hours will align with school hours. So we'll be open for school days, closed for school vacations in the summer, and that will help with the overall cost of the program. And our approach is a play-based approach. And you can see as we go through what the concept looks like, a developmentally appropriate curriculum, and supporting all aspects of our little toddlers. So our operational requirements, as I said, we're going to align with best practice. Our staffing is to utilize myself as other district administrators to oversee the program, as well as hiring additional staff for this program. We are looking to start the toddler rate. They're littles, so the ratio is a little bit smaller. So we're talking nine students to two staff members. If the interest is there, we certainly have the opportunity to grow that. We have the space to do so as well. And we're looking to, you know, phase that in as we move forward and gauge the need and the interest from staff. A program's space will include our main program. We also have a contained outdoor space. Also incorporating an indoor gross motor classroom, as well as a gymnasium, and then devote a classroom to rotating hands-on learning centers, which would include some dramatic play, blocks and building, arts and creativity, and much more. So we're really utilizing that space and wanting to incorporate as many learning experiences as possible.
Okay, just to review the financials, we have been modeling out the program. Medway is a great example of a neighboring town that has a staff child care model. There are other towns also. Patty and I have had the opportunity, we were able to visit with Colin, So we were able to visit and just get a sense of what's the model look like, what's the financial breakdown, and how are they able to sustain it. So we have been working really hard to look at a model where staff are charged for the days in which their students are there, which align with our school year. And as you may know, if you've ever had to pay for childcare, there are often times where you have to pay to hold over the summer and on vacation. So that's just a built-in cost savings for any of the families that would be taking advantage. And we would not be looking to utilize space that would displace any of our existing students in our pre-K programming, but ultimately enhance that that setup that is at Pond Street. So as with regard to startup costs, what we've done is we've started to look at what would any company, what would any restaurant, what would any business be needed to do to open up the doors. We needed to create a model where we compare tuition rates to neighboring communities that have this type of model. Also looking at private daycare, in-house daycare, to try to look at all those models and say what makes the most sense so that we have a competitive rate in which it's enticing for our staff to take advantage of. We looked at our hours that we would be paying employees and how do those line up with the school day and how do we break that up. So these are just some examples of things. All of the materials you need, things that you would need for that classroom. There are things that we can get creatively. I know Patty and I have talked about looking for grant opportunities, donations. There's tons of ways in which we can outfit some of these programs, this particular program, and then ultimately trying to make sure that we have an ability to cover the structure and financially have it be self-sustaining. And ultimately, our ultimate goal is to have it be revenue generating, which is something we've talked about before. There's a few wins baked in here. Is providing staff with an opportunity. I can think of a business teacher we lost a few years ago who had a child and resigned for that exact reason. And that person was really good for the culture at Franklin High, great with kids. It was sad to see that person leave, but ultimately they had to make a decision because there was no way they could make it work with the child care timing and how to pick up and whatnot. So I think back to that person a lot as we've been in these conversations. So We have been really working this through to make sure that we are able to cover the costs and make this opportunity be scalable, but also start with 9-2, which is the state guidance. That's their ratio.
Just to go back one second.
Yep.
In our visit to Medway, this was my big takeaway. It was this little mechanism here. It's called the bye-bye buggy, and you can fit 4 students in a buggy. And it's good, it's practical, it's get them fresh air if the weather's not that great, and it also is a great evacuation tool. So it's, that definitely made it to my must-have list of things.
That's why it's in here.
That's why
it's in here. I want to make sure you try to hold me accountable in front of my bosses. I appreciate it. Jeez, so facilitated, I'm going to fill my mom with us. Okay.
Yeah, so the implementation timeline, we are in the planning stages right now. We just found out that we will be license exempt, meaning that we can both use best practices, we're using the guidelines from the EC, but just takes out, we're not following their timeline, waiting for people to come out and visit, so it gives us a little bit more flexibility as to how that all carries out. So in the process of developing the program itself and preparing for that, and ultimately, as Lucas said, we'd like to have this open for the next school year.
So we have been in phase one, mm-hmm. which is really like the feasibility of this, and we've moved into phase two. Patty's done a lot of work on the back end to survey staff, to do some things to gain interest. We'll have more information on that, but just to give you a sense of how this will look. So this just breaks down the timeline a little bit further to give you a sense.
Yep, so right now we're in phase one, moving into phase two, planning and approvals. Come March, we'll begin phase three, and we hope to start registration in March, and then, you know, give, you know, staff time to come out and actually see the program. It's important for, if you've got a toddler and you want to put them in childcare, it's really important for them to see the facility and see what we're all about. And then August, September, we'll move into orientation, and then the program opening with the, you know, it's a staff childcare. So we're going to open up in August in time for staff orientation so that they have that that care while they start their school year.
We'll return to school committee sometime between May and June with some data. I think that would be helpful if we look at how many staff have signed up, who's interested, what's our wait list to get to the next cohort, what does our final tuition model look like. So I think there's more data to be given, and we'll move Patty up in the presentation schedule so that
I know as Lucas talked about the teachers that they lost, I think it's important that we try to, you know, to think of the staff that we have, and that they, you know, that we can have them have their peace of mind with their child at a good child care facility, that they're the ones that are going to be with our students, and that it's just a win-win.
So we're happy to answer any questions, and thank you.
Thank you. Sir, with Reese.
Sure. So if initial enrollment's going to serve 9 toddlers, mm-hmm. how do you determine, I imagine the interest would be higher than 9 people, so how would you determine which staff members get access to
the program? Question.
Well, have to see what the interest is, and if we do find a high interest, we'll have to plan accordingly. And then we'll just have to see. Yeah. But I think solutions has always been a first come, first serve, and we'll do that as well. But with that being said, if there's a big interest, we want to try to make that adjustment as well.
Typically, the way we've done any sign-up for any program is someone expressed interest, they either pay a deposit or a registration fee to hold their spot that's refundable, and then that shows a commitment on our end, and then we work on first come, first serve, who's on the list, and work through those lists to see who's committed.
And it's a pretty specific age group as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes as well.
Very good. And that was one of my other questions as well, with that specific age range. Mm-hmm. There are going to be students who age out mid-year. Are there plans to help our teachers address those needs, whether it's the transition to ECDC or something along those lines?
Yeah, and when they come into our program in, within that age group, we will have them finish the school year. We won't age people out in a year or three quarters of the year. They'll be in there for the school year. Yeah.
Very good. And I'm curious, do teachers currently make use of ECDC? Is that something that teachers have done?
If they have lived in town, I can think of a few people. I know that we have our principal here. Do teachers make use of ECDC?
Only if they live in Franklin at this time. But it has been a conversation about staff access.
So, and that may be, you know, for future, but it may be something to look at. Is it, so we're not offering it just for this period.
Right. We don't want to duplicate
come up
the service.
Yeah. Conversations.
Yeah. We want to complement.
Very good. This is a really exciting initiative. I'm looking forward to seeing the follow up.
I feel like we have ESP tonight. I think the same questions. But I remember when this came up during the master planning, and I thought it was, you know, a terrific idea. I'm very pleased to see that it's rolling out. I, you know, what better, that we have Kennedy, why not use it? There's a potential for revenue. Again, what a wonderful idea. And anything at this point to boost morale and, you know, for our faculty members and give them an opportunity to ease their load in any capacity is certainly welcome. I look forward to the next presentation. I feel like I have more questions on my mind. I think it would be really helpful to do, you know, that initial survey and see what the demand is, whether or not we can meet that, you know, a larger demand. Next August is one thing, but we could explore it in future years if we had an idea of what those numbers would look like. So thank you.
Yeah, echo my colleagues. Thank you for the update. I think I'll look forward to the June presentation where we can see what does August look like and what the future is going to be. So, I think, yes, you first next time.
Thank you. I'm excited about this. This is like what I do with like strategic planning for startups. I'm just, I want it to be the bakery. So my questions were like, maybe to Nadia's point, like I'll let you guys breathe for a minute and get it going. But is it specifically being built for educators because of the hours and the vacations off and things? So you're like ideally we're starting with like let's retain and let's do like within the school district and then maybe
And that was a direct recommendation from the master plan and the work, the focus groups, and all the outcomes of all of the groundwork that was laid over that year when the recommendations came.
Yeah. Okay. Just because I know that
other school districts do it.
Like I know the demand for solutions is always big. Like I already used to sit down there and be like, why can't we expand solutions? And then what I hear about ECDC is like we'd probably get more if we had earlier hours. We're working around a school district, so it's not like we're like entrepreneurs out there doing what's marketable. So it's tricky. Because I'd love for this to end up being a revenue stream. And then. I hear discussions at town council meetings about the Pond Street property. Have you been approached about from other departments or wanting to utilize that space or is no?
No.
Okay.
No, right now, and I think you saw some photos in the teaching and learning presentation where the staff have utilized spaces. There's a dedicated area for this childcare to be. And when you start to look at lifelong learning, programming is in a different section, and our ECDC at On Street is on the left side when you enter the door. So the building is being utilized for, by and large, most of those spaces. This is a staff training room. So I have not, but I would say that the space has a high percentage of that space is made up of very little children. in it. So the security, we treat that just like any other school with the security to make sure that we're covering ourselves and making sure that we're able to provide an educational environment. But no, I have not, but I'm excited about the opportunity here to bring the child care that we have been talking about for a few years and to be able to have this opportunity. And I do think this is the start
It could go a bunch of ways, but I would never want to overpromise and underdeliver. I think we have to start with how this was framed and the why behind it was around staff recruitment and retention. But there are, there's potential here to really look at this. And I think we've seen it with Medway. And I think this is the type of thing, if I hope I've instilled some confidence in, you know, the ability of our team to evolve based on the circumstances and try to make the most with what we have. And you know, we'll do the same here.
Yeah, I think you've certainly done that, shown that we're capable. Yeah, it was weird. I thought of the town council meeting, because the facilities presented last meeting, and I thought they said, how much of that Pond Street, one of the questions they had was, how much of the Pond Street building is being utilized or not being utilized? Mm-hmm. And it was a topic of discussion that made me perk up. So I just wanted to, that's why I asked that.
Yeah, our office is there. So we occupy a little corner of
the Disney. It's not like, are we gonna, like, does the town want to open up pickleball courts there, try to generate revenue? And I was like, whoa, we're gonna use it. So I was just thinking that way. So
well, lifelong learning is there, operations, Colin is all, because these are all people that were displaced because we filled the middle school, right? We filled the different areas. So you have Office of Teaching and Learning, you heard tonight.
Okay.
Becky Laverne, the secretary, is dueling as a secretary just because of funding. We couldn't put a secretary. Yeah. So she's sharing that. She leaves, and then my secretary leaves town hall and drives over for 2 hours every day to cover the afternoon part. I think that's what led to some of the conversations that were happening around that. But anyway, we have really tried to utilize everybody we can to make that work. But the whole left wing is just all ECDC.
Yeah.
And then they eat lunch, so there's a cafeteria there. The rooms up near the lunchroom are where this child care will be located. In the gym area is where lifelong learning is, and then the hallway leading up to the cafeteria is where Office of Teaching and Learning, operations and whatnot. So we're utilizing spaces appropriately based on where people need to be, but certainly I can understand the question though, like what's going on? I think that's a fair question from the public.
They didn't seem to know the answer. They were kind of saying, oh, well, I think this
is a good, it's a good question.
And we also have some night classes there too, community learning.
And I just like selfishly want to hang on to it and make sure they utilize it.
It's a great building.
It's being utilized for students.
For sure. Thanks. That's all I got.
Awesome. Steven?
Yeah, it's a great presentation. I'm pretty sure it's going to give a piece of mind for a lot of our staff. So a couple of questions. So now the enrollment is only 9, you're looking at 9. I know there was a question to whether we're going to increase or not. Do we also have a plan to add public, allow public kids, other kids other than the staff into this program? If we have an opportunity, if we have some spots, do we have thought about it?
Without fully committing to saying yes, I would say our goal is to look at how we would want to optimize the resource with spots, and if we had less than a 9 student cohort and we could maximize it to have, if we had 7 and we could get to 9 and we've gone through our staff and there's no other option, I think we would look to see how we could expand and what would be most appropriate. You know, I think that would be the case. I think that's what Medway has done
to
fill in the gaps. I would wonder about staff in general in the town. I would just say there's a variety of ways we could look at it and make decisions. That's something we would do is try to optimize those 9 and cohorts. Yep. Fair enough.
Yeah, and we're lucky to have that Medway example too. I think they've been a good example.
Not necessarily, you know, public, and also we can also think about like town staff.
That's what I was saying. Is like towns, we could expand it beyond. If school staff is filled every year, we have a chance to put out an open enrollment period, see where we land, and then keep trying to look to expand to maximize those opportunities.
And that way, town council will know that space is being utilized for child care, right? So that's one. So my second question is on the budget. So this is completely an independent budget, or is there anything that goes from our Franklin School public school budget into it?
No, this would not fall under the operating budget that you will approve, that we will present on next meeting with the overview and then the hearings. This is a completely separate, similar to how lifelong learning operates. They are self-funding, self-sustaining, and this would be, the similar model would be self-sustaining. And like I said, I know you're looking forward to future presentations. We will share more of this information with you as we decide it.
Perfect, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right.
quick, I shouldn't be surprised when you exceed my expectations. The district continues to do so every single time. When this was talked about in the master plan, it was definitely a, you know, a 2027, 2028 thing, if we kind of got this. The fact that we went, we reorganized, we moved schools, we settled down, we're you know, reunifying, and then, you know, you and your team are just crushing it over there at Palm Street to now come up with this that's going to be launched this school year is amazing. I'm so excited. Can't wait to see where it's going to go. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, you know, just kind of reiterating, there's a lot that went into this. I know this has been an ongoing conversation. You know, and also understanding the institutional knowledge we have, you know, understanding your experience with situations like this. And I think we kind of glossed over that. You know, this is not us trying something brand new that we have no experience in. This is actually right up your alley.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure to call that out
Thank
to
you.
The community. You know, this is very much so something you understand very deeply.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we're in really great shape there, and I appreciate the added time and, you know, looking at what you're talking about with the planning feasibility and just kind of the overall model. You know, you say, all right, we're gonna have a center director, and you said it kind of quietly off to the side, like, oh yeah, that'll be me too. It's like, okay, we just keep on putting the hats on. At some point in time, we have to
it's not
support.
Just myself, it's a team effort. Yeah,
it is. But I think your team does a lot, and they're very different hats kind of across the district, so you know, we really appreciate that. You know, and again, to Stephen's point, you know, that budget neutral aspect, I think, is really great. And if anyone is interested, you know, I'm actually pretty aware of the Medway system. I have actually friends who use it. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Stephen, you know, essentially they have it as a priority for the schools and then for the town, but they have that wait list. So every year they have any kind of extra space, they just start calling, and they have no problem. That wait list is long. Because it's really a great resource, and one of the things that I've heard that people really appreciate is you're essentially part of that system. You know, you're in the schools, you have the same exact schedule, even for, you know, parents just in the district. And then I think, you know, to the point that was brought up earlier about expanding ECDC to be able to accept these students, you know, we can kind of matriculate through.
Yeah.
I know that's a big, we'll get there. But, you know, I think these kind of discussions are really important and great. And then to Ruth Ann's point, you know, about the school, you know, I do really appreciate the fact that, you know, this is a school, so it does fall entirely under our purview. And that we, you know, I know we're utilizing a lot of the Pond Street location, and, you know, being able to really kind of say, hey, this is how we're going to use it even more efficiently, we have more space, and being able to expand into that, I think, is really fantastic. So that, you know, I love that we're able to continue to maintain this as a school, and it will continue to be a school. But then I think, you know, Lucas, your point, any kind of conversations to the contrary, you know, I would highlight that we have a lot of our most vulnerable students in this group. You know, these are very young children, and we're very protective of that kind of environment. So making sure that we really do understand and maintain just the highest standards, you know, of that being a school kind of throughout. So appreciate that. One idea, because there's not enough incoming like that. I know that with Solutions, we have, you know, summer programs. My own kids have used it, you know, they're big fans. Would this be an environment we could potentially expand for kind of a childcare system over the summer? You know, as kind of an add-on. Like, I understand the idea of trying to really streamline costs where you have it, you know, it's focused on teachers, you have it through the summer, but I think also we have lots of people in town who are teachers elsewhere, who when they come home, you know, for the summer, there is that kind of, there's that gap where, yes, they have lots going on. They might be able to utilize that resource, but also looking at retention of the staff. Mm-hmm. Some people might be very interested in, you know, 180-day role, but it might also be really helpful if you're like, right, you know, we've got a full year plan for you, and that could help get people in, especially as we're trying to get off the ground. Mm-hmm. So if we had that kind of summer program lined up, you know, again, staff want to continue using it, you know, kind of that same hierarchy of like staff, you know, town employees, local, you know, local residents. Yeah. It might just be something to explore as we're going through the next couple of phases.
Yeah.
Where, again, the idea for your staff retention, trying to make sure that we're sensitive to that because they might not be on the same kind of schedule or same expectation as those who would utilize the service.
Right. And as I said, we've been very lucky to have Medway as an example, and they've been very generous with their time and sharing their facility, and that is something that they eventually did grow into, was offering a not a a long program, but maybe a 4-week program that for maybe teachers or staff members that want to, you know, teach over the summer or take a class over the summer or something like that. So it is something that we could consider, but we'll see what the interest is and engage it from there.
Sounds fantastic. You know, really appreciate all the time. I know it's 10 slides, but there's an immense amount of work that was going on behind the scenes. And, what you have in front of you is going to be quite the lift, but really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Patty, have a good night.
So as it changed, does anyone up here need an hour break or anything? Just 5 minutes? Okay. So yeah, we're going to go ahead and take a 5-minute recess. Just give everyone a quick break. I've been going at it for a few hours now, so we'll be back in 5 minutes. All right. So appreciate that quick recess after a lot of great information. Want to go ahead and move along through with the additional discussion action items. Do want to know we already took care of action item number, or letter A, Galapagos Islands trip. Let's move on to B.
B, program of studies presented tonight. I recommend approval of the 2026-2027 FHS program of studies as discussed.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, any discussion? Seeing none, vote will come on a motion. Everyone in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Next.
Yep, next you have a policy reading. It's policy IHAIA, which is middle school pathway exploration, to move to a second reading as discussed.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Everyone aware? Everyone reviewed the policy? Excellent. Fantastic. All right. Seeing no discussion, the vote will come on a motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Great. Next, you have the ECDC 2026-2027 tuition rate. Just like the last policy, it was in your packet. I will kick it over to Dr. Rogers, and also our principal is in the crowd still here to discuss the rates. They did a lot of work to put together some new data and a recommendation for the rate based on comparisons regionally for ECDC. So with that said, Dr. Rogers.
Sure. So I can launch this conversation. I would say Ms. Malati and Ms. Morano were part of the policy subcommittee meeting last month and where we discussed the fee increase. So ultimately what's before you is a new fee. I don't have the paperwork in front of me, it was in my packet. But we had increased ECDC tuition 20% for the 2025 school year. And what we are looking for is an adjustment. We've seen a decrease in student enrollment and for an adjustment in those fees so that our enrollment projections would increase. So I can turn it to you for some context.
Sure. I think that the important thing with this request was that there was, when the 20% increase went into effect, it was a 20% with a yearly 3% elevator, so it was going to continue to rise, and we saw a significant decrease in our enrollment this year. To the point where we are, in the end of 2024, we were at 195 students, and currently at the ECDC, we have 125 students. So we've seen a drop of enrollment. Whether or not it's related to that, we don't know, but we think it has something to do with it because of people who called and said, I can't do it, and we did some comparisons to districts around and saw that Franklin is the highest for 5 full days of preschool. So we decided to look at it and see what, with Ms. Malati's help, what the best recommendation would be for us moving forward to bring it down back to what we were originally charging in FY24 plus a 5%. Increase.
Anything to add?
No, I think you said it all. We did see a decrease in enrollment of 23% from FY25 to FY26, which resulted in a decrease in our revenue as well. So hopefully bringing the tuition rate down to a more competitive level, we will bring enrollment up and revenue will come up as well.
And we have new student open house next week on Wednesday. So I thank you for having this on the agenda so that we can inform families that come next week that the prices have been lowered, and we'll be able to formally say that now. So that it's good that it came now.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Any questions or discussion from the committee?
Do we know what the actual revenue number drop is?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Significant.
It is up until October 31st compared to last year. It looked at $16,000. Compared to, I projected out for the remainder of the year, so you're looking at $54,000.
Thank you.
So there's a tri-county daycare center, right? Some of my kids, I mean friends' kids go there. So how do we compare our fee structure with them?
To tri-county's pre-K?
We didn't get that one. Because I heard they are comparatively cheaper than ECDC.
I would think so.
Yes,
they have been historically.
I'm sure they are.
When we did our comparisons, we did our comparisons to local school districts as opposed to private or separate entities in order to make an apples-to-apples comparison.
Makes sense, but they are in the same town, and it's good to have the numbers mm-hmm. compared with them as well. That would be my request to the team.
And then, Kim, one, thanks so much for sticking around. Appreciate it. During the policy, when this kind of first came up, you kind of discussed like not only obviously there's a decrease in enrollment, decrease in revenue, but that it also there's a compliance issue in terms of the number of students. Would you be able to kind of elaborate?
I'll let Paula elaborate on that.
Seeing that we're an integrated preschool, it's important that we have to have one more peer than our students on IEPs, so students with disabilities. So if we do not get enough students tuitioned in, then we'd have to go to DESE for a waiver. We've gotten creative this year of how we can make sure that our students with disabilities are integrated with our students without disabilities. However, if that ratio really gets too skewed, then we would need to get a waiver. We'd be out of compliance. It'd be sub-separate programming for our students rather than integrated.
Okay, thanks. So just yet another reason why
yes,
we need to
absolutely make sure we increase those numbers.
So. All right, wonderful. Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Should we wait for the comparison or should we go ahead and approve it?
They have the meeting though coming up on Wednesday. It's important to them.
No, I'm just trying to see. So they're not going down further.
So, yeah, during discussion, we would have addressed that. If there is a delay, the only way to affect that at this point, so if this were to be denied, or if there's a motion to delay this to a later date, that would be two ways to do it. The impact of that would be that the open house that is being held next week would not be nearly as informative for the parents, where they would not be able to necessarily say what the tuition is for the upcoming year. They would have to rely on the previous institute policy discussing the rate that we had already in place with 3% rider increase each year versus this rollback.
Yeah, I approve that, but I just wanted to see if there's a way later going back to review this.
Through the chair.
Yeah, we can provide that just through the chair. We can provide a comparison to Tri-County and get that rate compared to this one. I think we all could, actually, once we know, everyone will know this rate, but also we can reach out Tri-County's as well.
And additionally, when this came before policy, there was kind of twofold. There was a the price that will be voted on here, but also escalators for prices kind of in the future. And at policy, we kind of asked to not look at the future. We'll kind of get the enrollment numbers, kind of go from there, and then reevaluate. So it's likely that for future years, we'd also kind of retake this up too. So at that point, we have to compare that up. If that helps at all.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Sorry, Paul. I just wanted to clarify that before. Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
All right. Sorry, one other question. Do we need a motion for the vote? Or are you able to call
So it? The motion came out in order to open the discussions.
Right. We don't need a motion to go to vote. Okay, sorry.
No, the vote comes at the very end. The discussion, this discussion is out of turn. Traditionally, discussion is closed. The voting occurs. There's no discussion during the voting.
Correct.
It's late, so I just wanted to.
I just wanted to make sure procedurally our vote.
Hasn't been concluded yet, but it will.
Gotcha.
Yep. So, the additional discussion aside, vote will come in a motion again. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for saying.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So, in the interest of time, given that we have all been hanging out for just a few hours at this point in time, I'd like to entertain a motion to push items 4 and 5, so discussion-only items, the monthly financial report and information matters, school committee subcommittee reports, and liaison reports to the next meeting.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, or any discussion, questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. So down to consent agenda.
I recommend approval of the minutes from December 9, 2025 school committee meeting as detailed. I recommend approval of the request of Emily Rossborough and Brian Healy to take DECA students to Boston, Massachusetts from March 12th to 14th, 2026 for the state competition as detailed. I recommend approval of the request of Emily Rossborough and Brian Healy to take the DECA students to Atlanta, Georgia from April 24th through 29th, 2026 for the international competition as detailed. I recommend the acceptance of $2,541.09 from LifeTouch for supplemental supplies as detailed. I recommend the acceptance of $250 from Sean Jobin for the Jacqueline A. Schaefer Scholarship as detailed. And I recommend the acceptance of $1,458 for in-house enrichment at FHS as follows. Franklin Soccer Boosters, $658. Franklin Hockey Boosters, $800.
Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as detailed?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any questions, discussion?
Yeah, I know it's late, but I just want to thank everybody who made the donations that we kind of voted on. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, vote will come on a motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. At this point, I'm going to entertain one more motion to forego items number 7 and number 9, so that is going to be order and new business, moving them to the agenda for next week, or next meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Wonderful, thank you. Questions, comments? All right, vote will come on a motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. So the next thing on the agenda is citizens' comments. So, are there any citizens in the audience, in person or online, who would like to comment on an item that falls within the committee's purview? Please come forward, let us know your name, address, and then feel free to state what you state your case.
Sure, Carolyn Canal, Five Laurel Court. I'm sure you're all very tired. I sure am. If you can keep your listening ears on for just a little bit longer, I have a lot to say, but I know that I only get 3 minutes, so I will talk fast. I am a Franklin resident, a pediatric neuropsychologist, and the mother of 3 boys in our elementary schools. I'm here tonight to express my concerns about the role of educational technology in schools, and hopefully to spark a conversation that will lead to the establishment of policies around the intentional use of technology. I spent the past few years thinking deeply about how screens are impacting our youth, and at least a few of you here have already been on the receiving end of my emails, questions, and concerns. I've really tried to be thoughtful in how I approach this topic, as it's not a teacher-specific concern, a school-specific issue, or even a concern that's about one specific instructional practice. At this point, though, I'm not sure how to move forward without your support. The research is crystal clear. The digitization of education is not supporting student learning. In fact, students who spend more time on screens during school tend to demonstrate more fragmented attention, weaker emotional regulation, poorer social skills, and lower academic achievement. Reading digital text does not support comprehension as well as print. Typing does not support learning as well as handwriting. Adaptive one-to-one digital learning tools do not clearly support the retention of knowledge or the generalization of skills to other contexts. Video-based movement breaks offer no advantage over non-digital movement breaks. And while screen-based rewards like movies at lunchtime may be engaging for kids, the exposure to screens throughout the day fuels regulatory challenges and limits opportunities for the development of social skills. This isn't a Franklin-specific issue, and this is not an attack on Franklin teachers or our school system more broadly. We heard so many amazing things happening in our schools here tonight. But I think this is an opportunity for our community to lead, to invest in ways that truly advance our student skills across academic, cognitive, social, and behavioral domains. I have so many ideas about how we can more intentionally structure the use of screens in schools and give our students more opportunity to become deeply engaged thinkers with a better capacity for self-regulation and stronger skills for interpersonal connection. Ultimately, though, I'm one person, and while I have a great deal of clinical experience and knowledge about neurodevelopment, I'm not a teacher, a curriculum specialist, or an educational technology expert. We need our community to come together to acknowledge this issue and to unite around an evidence-based path forward. A neighboring town has begun doing exactly that. School officials, educators, and parents have worked together to define shared values around technology use, to set limits on screen time in schools, and to clarify when digital tools should and should not be used. They've replaced movie days with board game days, craft days, and other activities that promote communication, collaboration, and play. And Franklin students deserve the same. I want to end by highlighting that this issue becomes especially relevant in light of the December 10th Finance Committee meeting, where the replacement of student Chromebooks, teacher laptops, interactive screens, and other technology infrastructure was estimated to cost $1.5 million annually. It feels essential that we fully understand how educational technology is being used and under what circumstances it truly leads to better learning outcomes before continuing to invest at this scale. I have some other written comments and information to share after tonight's meeting concludes, if anyone's willing to take a deeper look at this issue. Not tonight, maybe tomorrow over your coffee. But I'd love to consider how we can move forward as a community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, appreciate it. Anyone else?
Steve Sherlock, 13 Magnolia Drive, Community Information Director, Franklin Mattis, Franklin Public Radio. Embarrassing that I was sitting taking notes all this time, so my screen time is concerning, and I know we've talked about it. Happy New Year. This is the first time I've seen you this time around, so Happy New Year. It's going to be a busy year. It's going to be a working. You've already started, and clearly, the end of the night is redone. Quick plugs in regards to proper use of the microphone. It is your best buddy, the meeting, so we all can hear what is done and then come back to the recording and still hear people enunciating properly. Thank you for that. What else can be done? The quick plug as we get into calendar and planning, the recurring request that if there are booster clubs, PCCs, anybody doing some fundraising events, there's a form on Franklin Matters where you can send me an email, get the calendar item out there. We'll help spread the word. It's part of the daily calendar for any of the fundraising events that day. But if I only see it on the night of, I miss the opportunity to put it out there in that day. I'd like to help more, but I need your help, meaning the community's help, the educators' help, the PCC's help, the Booster Club's help, in order to say, hey, we want to do something, and let's help. Together, we can do it much better. So thank you for that. If I had the technology to write faster and then translate the notes, because this is the notes that becomes the reports, etc., it's worthy of discussion. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. All right, so now based on that, I've seen no other hands raised in the virtual setting, and given the adjustments that we made to the agenda, I will now entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Sorry. Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second?
Second.
All right. The discussion, so we'll come with a motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. Good night, everyone.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.